The Lord is good. All right, can we open our Bibles to the book of, well, of course, where we started last time. Let's just complete that today. We started a set of prayers last week, which I called the blessing. That's blessing for the blessed man, right? That's what we called it. All right, so let's complete that. The book of Numbers, chapter 6. All right, let me start from verse 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. You shall say to them, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Also you will say to them, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." He said, when you do this, what you are doing is that you are invoking my name on the sons of Israel. I then will bless them. I said last time there are three levels of blessings, and that these words were one to the sons of Israel. That is, these are people of the covenant. The first blessing is to be a part of the covenant. I discovered these days that people want to hear the blessings, but they don't understand there is a walk that qualifies you for that blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. When the word is going forth, I said God does not discriminate where he sends his signals to. The sower goes forth to do what? To sow. And as he's sowing, the seeds are just falling everywhere. And that's the way it is. The sower goes forth to sow. Some falls on his shoes. Some falls, you know what I'm saying? They just fall everywhere. It doesn't discriminate. All right? The sower goes forth to sow. Some fall by the wayside. Some fall on good soil. Some fall on bad soil. Some fall on very fertile soil and all of that. And that's how the blessings of God are. And so when you go to church, you tune the TV. You know, it's very common these days what you see. I see it a lot on TV. In fact, you know, just by the way, I hope you don't mind me digressing a bit. The Church of Christ, we always have, how do I call it, a fad. You know, something that's raining. When I was on campus those days and shortly after, teachers were raining. Do you understand? Almost every preacher you met was a teacher. They used to teach. There's one that's raining right now. I don't know that you've noticed. They called them the prophetic. Yeah, it's very common. So once a man grabs a microphone, from the beginning to the end, he's declaring blessings. All right? He's declaring this year something great will happen. Tomorrow is your day of breakthrough. Breakthrough is about to break upon somebody. There's a breaking forth that's about to break, and breakness is good, you know? And of course, everybody gets excited, all right? They are not bad things. Do you follow my point, all right? But you see, those things, they excite the soul, all right? You feel very, very happy. Feel very, very happy. What we said last time, which I'm just reminding us of again, is the fact that those blessings can come like that. They don't land on everybody that's hearing them. They don't. The reason being that there are three levels to the blessing. Number one level is that, as the first one, is that you must be a part of the covenant. He said, thus you will say, all right, it was in Aaron and Kor, you will say to them, thus they will bless the sons of Israel. They were not blessing the sons of Ammon. They were not blessing the sons of Moab. They were not blessing the sons of Amalek. Are you getting my point? They were blessing the sons of Israel. Then they pronounced those blessings. The Lord bless you and keep you. He said, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And then he said, the Lord bless. He said, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. When you do that, you will invoke my name and then I will bless them. The third level, of course, the second level is that the man begins to declare the blessing upon the people. But the third level is that once he has done that, then there will be a manifestation, or the blessing of God will become manifested in their everyday walking. Now it appears like God wants them to hear that one. That is a word coming to their ears. And that activates the blessing that he has already deposited inside them by reason of the covenant. So when you are pouring forth the word of God, that is the blessing of God upon people, the person must have the heart that is ready. We said last time, to use an illustration, that DSTV signals are coming forth from their satellite and is hitting your hair as you are sitting down there. No, it's a matter of fact. The signals are hitting your bodies as you are going around. The signals are, you know, all over you. But except you have their decoder with the proper smart card properly inserted and your subscription has been paid, you will not be able to see the kingdom of, you know what I'm saying? Because except the man can see that kingdom, he cannot enter. So except God can paint the picture on your television of your heart, you'll not be able to step into his blessing. Are you getting my point? So what we need to do, first of all, is to buy our decoder. You get my point? That is, give your life to Christ. Do you get my point? Pay your subscription. What is your subscription? You must attend to the word of God. Quickly open to that. Let's read it together. Proverbs chapter 4. Because that is a blessing. All right? That's how it is. Proverbs chapter 4. He said, for verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst of your do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them. Please notice that when a man has come across with and romanced the word of God, it produces life in him and brings health to all their whole body. That's verse 22, Proverbs chapter 4. He said, "This." What I'm trying to bring out from here is this. It's not just about being a Christian by name or having answered an altar call one day. That there's what the Bible calls doing works that are in keeping with repentance. Are you getting my point? John the Baptist was speaking. You must produce fruits that are in keeping with repentance. So when a man is doing that, we say his subscription is what? Up to date. Then he can receive the signals of God. Then when, in fact, let me give you an illustration, all right? One day, one brother was telling me how he got his first job to work in glue. He was in church, and Sam Adeyemi was preaching. And then Sadiemi was talking, and then Sadiemi just said something. He said, tomorrow they are going to send for you. And he knew, oh God, I don't know what I get what I'm saying. He just knew that that was his own. Suddenly the signals hit, his subscription was up to date. Are you getting my point? And that one was almost like GSM, because the GSM signals are everywhere. Yet it has to be your number for the thing to ring when this signal is coming. He said he knew that was his own. Next morning he was expectant. He knew, and really, he just stumbled to go and see one of his friends. Oh, boy, Hafa. The boy said, Kai, where have you been? I've been looking for you. That was the next morning. Because they didn't have a phone. So he gave the fellow's phone number. All right, has his contact phone. So they had called the fellow to say, you have an interview today. So he told the guy, the interview is where? When? Today. They just quickly borrowed him a jacket, borrowed him a tie. You know, somebody lent him a tie. He wore the thing and ran down for the interview. And as soon as he walked in, I didn't look and looked at him and looked at his name. He said, are you from this area? I said, yeah. The man began to speak his language. That was the end of the interview. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That Sunday, somebody was preaching and said, tomorrow they will send for you. You see, do you get my point? The church may have had 3,000 people that Sunday morning, but there was only one connection for one person. Are you getting my point? Listen, it is not just to hear the blessing, it's to be prepared in heart. First of all, listen to me. I know I feel bold and confident to declare to you, your time will come also. There is something specific that you are believing God for. Let me say this quickly. Joseph. You know, people think it is a time you fast and pray that. Let me tell you again. Christians, let's not doing things because we want to get one thing. Say, I need breakthrough now. You now go and fast and pray till the breakthrough comes. This is the normal working of God. You will fast, it is good. You know the kind of fast I'm talking about. Not just to go hungry. Hungry is punishment of the flesh, all right? You need to be hungry. Fast is to concentrate and meditate. Amen? Take time out, all right? And you pray. When you have done that, God will let you finish and go back to work. I don't know what I heard I said. He will let you finish and go back to work, and there's no breakthrough. Did the fast and prayer work? Yeah, they did their job. But no matter how hard you fast, no matter how fervently you pray, you cannot make God's time come sooner than it's supposed to come. Are you getting my point? That's why I say, pray the prayer. Fast the fastings. They are never forgotten. They are kept there. In fact, they are making the day come at the appropriate time. Then the day will come. And usually the day comes is the day that your friend did party yesterday, and the whole Sunday you were there running around helping to arrange chair, doing everything and chopping and drinking and feeling very irie. Then that's the night that you didn't even remember to lock your door. How much more pray for protection? You just collapse on the bed. Bwah! Yet you wake up next morning and Samuel is at your door. Say, please, who's David? I have this oil, I've been trying to pour it for a while. The cap not grew open. They say, until I find David. I hope you know what I'm saying. That day will come when you did not expect it. That's why the Bible said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion,
It was as if the sleep I slept had not yet finished. He said, we're like them that dream. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you something. I said it before. Abraham waited for Isaac for 25 years. Yes and no. When we counted all the days, it was 25. The truth was that he waited one day at a time. He wasn't sitting down, you know, relaxing. You know, the way we Christians like to do it. Thank God he was not a Pentecostal. All right? He wasn't waking up. Oh, Isaac. Isaac, where are you? Picasso, come, paint me a picture of the child I'm about to have. He said, hey, Michelangelo, where you? Carve him for me. And he rubbed the head of the carving. Isaac, you shall come. Isaac is coming. No. He didn't do that. He believed the word of God. I'm going to say something about that today, which is actually maybe I want to say. And he woke up in the morning. It is farming time. You know what he will do? He will farm. When he was going to war, the soldiers that went to him were part of his household. He had a large household. He had to manage them every day. One of the reasons why the breakthrough doesn't come on time is that we focus on it too much. Yeah, because for that reason, we can't do what actually is the correct work that brings this breakthrough towards us. Because you see, life is spiritual. I keep on saying it. Life is what? Spiritual. Life is spiritual. What I mean is this. You are sowing seeds every day that God is using to bring harvest your way. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Except that you don't know which seed you are sowing for which harvest. That's why I say it all the time. It is Pentecostal, you know, clowning, joking. That you will bring forth this money and say it's for my breakthrough. It does not work. It does not work. The money you will give for your breakthrough, listen to me, you will probably give it to a child you do not know in a strange place one day. Nobody was preaching that day. So he says, sow your seed in the morning. And at night, don't do what? Don't withhold your hand. Because you don't know which one will bring forth which harvest. So you don't know which one will prosper, or whether both of them alike will prosper. What you're supposed to do, just be busy. What I'm trying to say is this. When we focus so much on one thing, we usually are not busy doing what is the right thing. Abraham waited for 25 years for Isaac. There are many reasons, things we can use to explain that. But one of the things going on was that God was allowing him to do the right things. And God was preparing him for Isaac. Listen, the very day that Abraham did the last thing that forced Isaac to come, he was not trying to bring forth Isaac. He was trying to help strangers. Are you getting my point? Those who are so focused on Isaac will not welcome the stranger. And the stranger was the one carrying the anointing to release Isaac. What did he do? He just saw strangers and said, ah, guys, this is Abia State. Before they kidnap you, better come inside. That was before, amen? Not anymore. He just saw strangers and said, ah, before they grab you and ask for ransom, just come inside this tent. My men are well able to protect you. And they prepared food for them. They look like royalty. They are coming from a great distance, so you entertain them very well. Or they look like important people. Whatever it is, at least they needed help. And then, it was while they were talking, the Lord now said, can we just pass by and not tell him? That's when they discovered that he had entertained the Lord and two angels. He was not doing that for Isaac's sake. He was just doing it. And then, the Lord now turned to him and said to him, by this time next year, according to the time of life, your wife will bear you a son. For years, he had been doing what was right. Listen, when people say to us a lot of times, you know, I hear that joke all the time. The widow of Zarephath did one dangerous thing and breakthrough came. Don't let anybody lie to you. The widow of Zarephath did not do one dangerous thing. Abraham did not just entertain strangers one day. Abraham had been doing the right things for 24 years. The final work was done in that 24th year leading to the 25th. And I always laugh. People who want to give one single offering and breakthrough, I laugh all the time. Yeah, you know, wickedness is a bad thing. To the crafty, God shows himself like I know how to collect your money. He said, to the crafty, I show myself crafty. What am I saying? That when people focus just on that thing that they are looking for, they never get it easily. They don't.
The reason is simple.
The right things they are supposed to do towards that thing, they don't even have the time to do it. You are getting the point? So what are we supposed to do as Christians? We sow our seeds in the morning, and at night, we don't stop sowing our seeds. We keep on working, activating the blessings of God by our general lifestyle. Then in due season, are you getting my point? In due season, the man who wants to fast and pray should continually fast and pray. It's important. Listen, the man who wants to sow a seed for breakthrough shouldn't bother. He should just sow seeds all the time. Are you getting my point? If somebody told that, look, if you give money, breakthrough will come. It's a good message. But don't think you will give one money and one breakthrough will come. Once you have learned that, what do? You start giving money. Let it become your lifestyle. Don't tie it to one thing. That's why people get discouraged. You can't do that. If you know the giving of money is good, that's why I tell you, Christians, don't be impulsive. Be a regular giver. Make up your mind, okay, for every money I get, this is what I'm going to do with it, and start doing it. When serious emergencies come, respond. Are you getting my point? Make it a lifestyle. You know why I'm saying so? If you do like that, if God takes 100 years to arrive with that Isaac, you don't get tired. But if somebody says, so dangerous, you will sow dangerously for 1 month, 2 months, by the fifth month, you have to be tired because danger must finish in your life. How can you be sowing dangerously every moment? You will soon get tired. Are you getting my point? I mean, if you had $1 million and last week you sold $500,000 dangerously, and that guy showed and says it's dangerous, you sold $400,000. This year, how many remain? 100K. By the time you sold the last 100K dangerously, then next year, even if they bring fire and brimstone, you can't dangerously do anything anymore. Then you get tired. This is a bad side of God. Spiritual things, actually. Is that once you are tired, you lose the reward for all the ones you have done. That's what he said. Let's not get weary of doing good. Because in due season, we'll reap our reward if we faint not. The reason being that God must meet you doing that thing when he finally brings the result of all the ones you have done. That's why he said, any man who's doing right and then stops doing, he starts doing wickedness. What do we do? We forget all the right he has done. That's why I tell you, don't start what you can't sustain. You know, I cheap things on the side here and there. You want to lose weight? They say, I read it all the time. 7 days to remove all the fat in your stomach. Please let me laugh. The fat you gathered in your stomach for 14 years, you want to remove it in 7 days? I'm waiting. It doesn't work. I tell people, weight is a lifestyle. Currently, you have a lifestyle of 90 kg and you desire to be 75 kg. Go and learn the lifestyle of 75 kg and start living it. In 3 years, you'll hit 75. It's not going to be overnight. All of a sudden, they go and wire your teeth. I said, don't let anybody wire your teeth. Can you live life with teeth wired? No. So leave your teeth alone. Don't wire them. Just create a new habit, a new lifestyle. Say, I have to shed my weight. I said, listen, I'm not going to jog the jog. I cannot keep jogging when I'm 80 years old. I'm not joking about that. I thought about it this morning when I went out to exercise. I said, when I'm 80, I'll still be doing this. Say, Pastor Vanki, listen, before you even start thinking it's a revelation, I've seen a man, what he does every day. 80-year-old man. See him jogging like this, running up and down a hill. I saw him on TV. 80 years, either 80 or 90. I'm not joking. The man was either 80 or 90. What am I saying? Whatever you want to do, you start doing it and you make it a habit. It must become a habit. Praying will be your habit. Studying the word of God must be your habit. Confessing must be your habit. Declaring the word of God must be your habit. Are you getting my point? When you do that continually, then the day will come. That's where I started this from. You won't know which day. It was an opportunity. No. Success is being at the right place at the right time. You know, I've said it before. How do you know the right place ahead of the right time? It's not possible. It's called the law of quantum physics. It's quantum physics, right? That's quantum physics. You cannot determine the speed and the position. Huh? No, it's quantum physics. It's a basic thing in quantum physics. The speed and the position of a particle at the same time. So it's part of life. You cannot know the right time and the right place ahead of the rightness of the time. No, you can't. Right time and right place, those things are only described in retrospect. that it might be fulfilled that which was written. It's after it had been fulfilled. Again, just by the way. So when you sit down and watching TV, and those American preachers come, Iraq shall invade Iran, two of them shall agree with Russia and shall invade Israel. It's all a lie. They can't know it. It's not possible. They can't. That's just by the way. What am I saying? So we do that continually. Then the right place and the right time will happen to you because the time of your breakthrough has come. Listen, you don't succeed because of right place and right time. No. Right place and right time, they happen because your time has come. You understand that until they found David, Samuel couldn't anoint anybody. David's right time waited until he arrived. What am I saying? Don't let anybody say, don't travel. This is, just go about your life normally. The breakthrough that is supposed to meet you in Enugu, if it arrives when you the day you went to Abakaliki, it will never go to somebody else's house. Did I hear an amen? If it went to somebody else's house, it was not your own. You know the illustration I use all the time? If I travel, and my wife supposed to meet me, say, where are you staying? I say, I'm in so-and-so hotel, room 204. Maybe I mistakenly said 204 instead of 214. She gets to 214 and knocks. And one white man that weighs 300 pounds, you understand my point, opens the door. Which she said that, okay, since my husband is not here, the man I meet here now is now my husband. Will she say that? Your blessing is married to you. Did I hear an amen? If he arrives at your door and you are not there, it will keep on knocking until he finds the door where you are. Blessings are not by accident. They are commanded. And for everyone who has obeyed the word of God, listen to me. Let me command it. Your blessing will come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I just need to say to activate that thing that's inside you already. For everyone who has given attention to his word, he said, attend to my words. It's a blessing of God that follows them around. For everyone who has attended to the word of God, listen, no devil on earth can hold that which is yours back. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not possible. Today, a friend of mine, and we're in the office, we're discussing. We were talking this Islam world, you know, all those kind of things again. And what's the church doing? I said, what's the church supposed to do? I said, the church is supposed to be the church. If they are the church, listen, the gates of hell, not ordinary Islam, the gates of hell cannot prevail. People say, Christians network, do this and build up. I say, that's not Christianity. Christianity is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other religions that gather up against you, all right, will fall for your sake. That's what he said. Are you getting my point? Listen, the job of a Christian is to continually obey God. If you now listen, you know, I'm trying to get us away from this thing of if I want a car, I will obey God like this and car will come. If I want a wife, I will obey God like this, car will come. If I want a child, I will go and give an offering to somebody who has just delivered and their child will be mine. That's Buddhism. That's Christian science. That's what they practice. That's not Christianity. You give to somebody who has delivered, whether you're expecting a child or not. Amen? That's the way it is. Anything that's right to do, I say all the time, you do it all the time. That's Christianity. But listen to me. Listen to this. Let me first prophesy, then I'll give you the scripture. You will never be disappointed. Amen. Let me say to you, listening to me this evening, hear ye the word of the Lord. It will not happen that you will be an old man, and you will look back and say, if I had known, I would have followed a different path. It will never happen to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, whatever it is that you have desired, hear ye the word of the Lord. What your life will experience will be far beyond that which you have desired. Amen. You know, one day it will happen, you will look back and say, hey, you mean I actually used to envy those who came from America or used to travel to London? Now I give to these young boys and girls around me when they marry, I give them weekend. Okay, you just married? Go and do 1 week on my neck in Switzerland. That's no. A time will come, you just say, now I give these people as these things as wedding presents. You will start laughing at yourself. So a time, there was a time, it was my prayer point. Say, Lord, forgive me. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, now you are begging people, okay, I need job, will somebody help me? A time will come that your card, a card, you scribble on the back to somebody, say, ah, please help my brother. Or this young, my young friend is in need of help. Please kindly be of assistance. And you take, they will take that card and say, good morning, sir. My elder brother said I should give this to the MD. And you're talking about the MD of Coca-Cola, you know, Guinness, Shell, One Big Bang, Zen. That is, do you get my point? That is, you were in a hurry. Just say, okay, just scribble on the back of the card. And that will be giving jobs to people. Then you will look back and say, there was a time, you made me too, I was queuing up. Oh my God, God forgive me for being anxious those days. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. That's what God does. I told you I was going to give you a scripture. He said, those that hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. That's the scripture I wanted to give you. Those that hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. Those that put their expectation upon the Lord will never be put to shame. Are you getting my point? That's God's job. He said the eye of the Lord is running to and fro the whole earth, looking for the opportunity to flex his muscle on behalf of the person whose heart is perfect towards him. Are you getting my point? I told you, for the challenge of Christianity, pray that prayer for yourself every morning when you wake up in the morning. Father God, may my heart never depart from you. May I trust in you at all times. God, in the name of Jesus, please, there are temptations out there. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil of disobeying you. Sounds funny, but pray that prayer consistently. There is not possible. Listen, oh my God, I pray you get the point. If you wanted to own cars and be doing big transportation business, God will give you plenty luxury buses. If buses were the things you were dreaming of, you know what God will do? He will give you airplanes. Yes, and that's it. But that he will not do exceedingly far above all you can ask or imagine. That one is the one that will not happen. He must do exceedingly abundantly far above what you can ask of or even think about. I said it to you before. If you think about covering the world with the gospel like Paul did, what did God do? What did God do for Paul? He covered the earth that he knew with the gospel. Then God now projected it over thousands of years after him. So that 2,000 years later, you and I will still start a day. Gather your family, gather your friends, and somebody will open to the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. That was far above what he could ever have imagined. Are you getting my point? A man wrote a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. Maybe he was praying that God let this book sell 100,000 copies that Christians will be taught. It became this. There was a time the book was the best-selling book after the Bible. Decades after he wrote it, the book is still selling. God will do, this is a blessing for the blessed man, exceedingly, abundantly, far above that which you have ever imagined, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to me. Sometimes we preach faith as if faith is that you must take this thing, believe it, and hold on to it. That's primary school level. Because what God wants to do in your life, it is not possible to take it, hold it, believe it, hold on to it. It's not possible. Because you haven't seen it before. Yeah, it's not possible. Where when did Paul conceive billions and billions of pages from his writing? You know how he used to write? Say, Timothy, how much remained there? Timothy said, senior apostle. Now, wow. The transportation from here to Thessalonica for only you is 200 denarii. You say, me and Titus must follow. So that's 150, 150 for small boys, joined to 200. How much is that? That's everything is a 500. And you say it is a Nike and you don't collect offering. No, so you talk. So we need to have 1,000 so we can come back. Okay. Abi Oga, you want to make tent when you reach there? Suppose, okay, how much day now? So I got everything put together at 150. How much is one sheet of paper? So that one at 25. So go and buy. Go and buy as much paper as that 150 can buy and pen and bring it. Yeah, right. We desire to come to you, but we were hindered. At the one point, we were hindered. There are different kinds of hindrances. There's volcanic eruption hindrance, volcanic ash which will just hinder everybody over Europe. Then sometimes there's acute pocketitic hindrance. Then you check the pocket. You don't go onto the road by faith. I'm traveling by faith. Buy paper by faith and pen. Said Timothy, right. We desire to come to you, we're hindered. But we want you to know that they begin to write. Rule it. Yeah? Go and send the next ship that is going, tell them to post it for us there. And that's it. He has summarized that visit. See, I don't get money now. That's the summary of it. We'll come when we get money. Then God takes that letter written in simplicity and preserves it. And then one day, a church council gathers. They gather the letters of Paul and say, this is the major part of what we now call the New Testament. Then one day, a man in Germany invents the printing press for the sole purpose of printing the letters of Paul and things like it. I hope you know, the people who invented the press, they wanted to just publicize the Bible. And that's it. Now the thing is everywhere. Paul just wrote a letter, you must understand. Listen, Mary Kay Ash told the story of how her son came to her. Go and read that book, Miracles Happen. That chapter titled, You Can't Outgive God. So her son came to her and said, this my friend is very smart. He has invented this method for prospecting for oil. And I know the boy is smart. The thing will work. So what are you saying? Mommy, invest some money. So she gave them, I don't know exactly how much now. Give them some money, good money. And forgot about it. I think it was 2 years later or so. Let me not mix figures now. That the matter came up again. This was after she had gone and promised to double all the amount, to match every money they give towards their children's church offering that day. Thinking they would get like $2,000. When they didn't call her on time, said maybe it's up to 10,000. They called her and said it's $106,000. And she had promised to match it. They tried to release her from the pledge. She said, no, I will still pay it. Thinking of, let me go to the bank and borrow money. Then I will pay the bank back. The phone rang again. And the son said, why is it that everything you put your hands to turns to gold? So, but what are you talking about? He said, can you remember my friend, the geologist? Say yes. We finally struck oil. Your share in the first month alone is over $100,000. That was money she invested and forgot. Paul wrote letter and forgot. Mary Kay invested and forgot. The thing that you have done that you thought was trivial, God will take it and use it to multiply you exceedingly. Amen. Listen, that's how God does with people who believe his word. It's funny. The one you are laboring for, in fact, Kingsley called me today, we're discussing. He said, look, Pastor, I believe this particular one is mine. He said, this is why I said so. He said, because it's happened to me from the time I was in school. If I labor for something, oftentimes I don't get it. Then something like it that I did not labor for usually will come better and then to replace it. He called me this afternoon and was telling me that. Many of the things we labor for as believers, we don't get them. Are you getting my point? But some of the things we did not think were important. They are the things that God will take and amplify. I don't think that Paul thought those his letters were the things that all of us were talking about. Paul. Be arguing, was he tall, short? What kind of man was it? Was he angry when he wrote this? Was he fool when he wrote this? Do you know how many pages, billions and billions of pages have been written about the letters of Paul? Far beyond that which he ever imagined. Let me pray for you again, or let me prophesy to you. This is your blessing. Not only will God bless you, those who come in contact with you will be blessed. Amen. Because they came in contact with you. a time will come, listen to me, you will be giving out businesses as like, okay, you are leaving us, take this segment, we're not interested anymore, you go and develop it. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now listen, we're not talking about those who are looking for jobs. We are saying that not, and not even those who are giving out jobs, but those who are now giving out jobs packaging what you call industries. You will be so blessed. Listen to me. Once your child is born, he's made. I said, once your child is born, he or she is what? Made. That's what God will do. Listen, in this generation, for those who have attended to his word.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. In fact, I said you open this one scripture. Which scripture is that? Isaiah 56. Okay, quickly, let's read it. I want to show you something. He said, the man with an evil eye runs after money. That's what Solomon said. And he does not understand that poverty will come upon him. You know what that tells you? The man who prosperity comes upon him is not running after money. He just has a righteous eye and is doing the will of God. That's what it means. He said, the man with an evil eye runs after wealth, but does not understand that it's poverty that will come upon him. Let's quickly read Isaiah chapter 56. That is, what comes upon a man, you know I said that before, is not that which he's looking for. I'll read this and let me just explain that again. Listen to this. It is not what you are looking for in life that comes upon you. I said, when Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith, there's a principle there which is deeper from what we all think. That woman could not have had faith in the cloth of Herod. See, if I may but touch the hem of Herod's garment, I shall be made. In fact, forget Herod. She said he was a fox, right? That's what Jesus said, not me. Let's even talk about the holy and righteous man, John the Baptist. If I may but touch the goat skin of John the Baptist, or eat the remnant locust and wild honey that he was eating, I shall be made whole. When you get there, touch his goat skin, John the Baptist was dragging him back from your hand, first, what did he find? Says, sir, I just believe I touch this thing, I shall be made whole. You know what John the Baptist have told you? There is one mightier than I. Just be patient. He will soon come. That's what he used to do. What am I saying? When we say, be it unto you according to your faith, you must believe that which is right. What Jesus was saying, in effect, is simple. Every belief pattern, every thought pattern in life has natural now being spiritual, right? Consequences. Whatever God has joined together, nobody can put asunder. If a man goes for the baptism of John and believes that if I touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I shall be made whole, the consequence is wholeness all over. But if he said that, I will go and touch the hem of Herod's garment, it is worsening of the condition. That's what is tied to it. What am I saying? There's a pattern of life that we choose and it's tied to breakthrough. People think that blessing, all right, increase, abundance, is tied to conceiving it. I've told you before, that thing is not Christianity. So you will sit down and you begin to conceive it. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong, or it's evil. You should think about whatever things are good. You should think about those things. But Christianity is this, that even that which you have not reached for, God said, those who did not reach out to me, I revealed myself to them. That's what God does. That is, what I do is that, let me just say this to you, you will understand. The Bible never gave us the impression, I don't believe he did, that David conceived being a king in Israel. No. But we know he conceived being a good shepherd. Yes. It was so important to him. It was like Jesus Christ said, Father, see, all the ones you gave to me, I didn't lose one. If indeed, that was the picture that David was supposed to be, all right? Of the forthcoming king, Jesus Christ, then what does that tell you? Of the sheep that were committed into his hand, he too, it was important to him that he did not lose one. That was why the day the lion came. He said, this man, you want to spoil my commitment? He went after the lion and said, what's wrong with you? Give me my sheep back. He was so overwhelmed. He wasn't conceiving being king in Israel. Are you getting my point? He was conceiving being an exceedingly good king over his sheep. Same principle, Jacob. Jacob told Laban, The ones that the animals tore, I never reported them to you. I replaced them without discussing it with you. And that's what David, Jacob said. There's a pattern of life, a lifestyle, a thought pattern, a belief system, all right, that is tied. So, be it unto you according to your faith. If you've believed a particular system and you're working by a particular system, all right, that produces abundance, whether you think about or machinate towards abundance is irrelevant. It will come to you. Are you getting my point? That's the way it is. So, believers, what do? We give attention to the word of God and seek his righteousness. And listen to me. Everything beyond that which you have imagined, all right, they will be revealed in your life. That's the way God works. Listen, if you don't have the capacity to conceive businesses in billions of dollars, don't worry about it. Do you hear what I said? Don't go and give yourself unnecessary headache. Say, Pastor, say, if we can't think in billions of dollars, we'll never see billions of dollars. It's not true. What I mean by it's not true is this. The day you need to think in billions of dollars so you can see it, God will bring the thought of billions of dollars to your head and then you will see it the following day. No, that's the way it works. So what do? If your business right now is one single shop located somewhere on Zeke Avenue, maybe you make clothes or whatever it is, total investment, asset, everything put together is 185,229. Don't worry. Just occupy with this until I come. Just make sure that not one naira is missing. Don't bury it for safety reasons. You know, kind of say no. Never can tell. What if fire burns? He says, a sluggard says, I can't go out. I may be consumed in the street. There's a lion outside. That's a thought pattern that tends towards poverty. Extreme security consciousness. Never invest. You may lose your money. You know, I keep on quoting Robert Kiyosaki. Kiyosaki said, there are many poor men that have never lost a dime, but there's no rich man that's ever lost money. You know what I'm saying? So you're not going for extreme security. You just want to be diligent as much as possible. Listen, if you're obeying the word of God as you are doing that, a day will come, God will give you ideas of hundreds of millions. You'll put it in your head. Listen, God will give you concepts that to execute them, it will take much more money than you have ever seen. Then one day he will bring a man to you who has much more money than he has ever seen and does not know what to do with it. And I say, look at this idea. And he will buy the idea, and that's it. Business is born. What am I saying? Don't worry. There's a power of the blessing of God that's hanging on your head. Do you follow my point? And what it is doing is bringing forth God's promise and his abundance into your life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And let me tell you again, it is not possible that you will be disappointed. Listen to me, it will not happen one day that you will look back and say, my friends who did not follow the word of God, all right, they were smart and I was foolish. It will never happen.
Amen.
Listen to me, it will never happen. For God, it is so crucial that it does not happen, that he will resign from being God if it happens. Nobody will hopefully wait for him, and the person will put to shame. What kind of madness? Listen, if God needs to remove the president of a country to prosper only you, who hopefully waited for him, he will. You must understand that with God, my promise is crucial. No. Generations after must never say he waited for God. And where was he? Listen, I've told you, there's a prayer that Jesus prayed. It's not David. It's Jesus that prayed it. He said, Lord, let me not be ashamed. And let not my enemies triumph, that is, rejoice, exult over me. And God said, amen. I don't know what I get my point. That was a prayer of Jesus Christ, and it has been answered. You hear what I said? That was a prayer of Jesus Christ, and it has been answered. Listen, you will not be ashamed.
Amen.
Listen, anybody who prospered because of iniquity, listen to me, and laughs at you, weep for that person. There are people that God mark to make an example. Oh, I wish you would get my point. If a man, because he's rich, looks at me and say, he say you'll be preacher, I'll go slap you. I will curse him on the spot. That your children will beg. Not when you have died, in your lifetime. If you think you are rich, and because of that, you threaten to slap me, I will look at you and shake my head. That if your children are not believers, they are all beggars. And they will beg that you might eat. Now walk away. Kind of insult. He said, listen. Elisha prophesied. One man laughed. Elisha said, you the crazy? Okay. It don't go better for you. That was the end of it though. You know, seeing a small cause where the guy cause him. You see, when you look at you think the man was a prophetic. No. God, I don't think God revealed to Elisha that the guy will die. Elisha talked. The guy is sneaker than like. Elisha said, what is funny? He said, Baba prophet, have you ever heard of Alzheimer's disease? Dementia. Pastor, you don't get old. Elisha said, me. My latter life, I know better for you. That was the end of it. I prophesied and you laughed. Bishop Oyedepo said, no word from God ever leaves anybody the same. It's either it is lifting you up or it is bringing you down. That man, the world brought him down. And God said, so that generations after we know the kind of person I am, I want you to see it. And he saw the fulfillment of it, yet he suffered the judgment. They trampled him to death. Death is not an accident. Oh, let me prophesy to you again. You won't die now. You have believed God. You have attended to his word. Listen to me. You will not die now.
Amen.
Not in this season. I said you won't die now.
Amen.
Let all the assassins that Nigeria has ever seen and the ones that the mafia in America used, God come together, you will not die now.
Amen.
The Bible says that their arrows will enter only their own hearts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me say to you again, you won't die now.
Amen.
In peace, you will lie down and sleep.
Amen.
Because the Lord alone will make you dwell in safety. In your going out and in your coming in, he will be with you.
Amen.
In your going out and in your coming in, he will be with you.
Amen.
If you travel through dangerous grounds, he will sustain you.
Amen.
Listen to me, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. Listen, none will come near you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thus it is with everyone who attends to the word of God. He said you will be fruitful in your season.
Amen.
Listen, you will not die before your season. Let me say to you again, you won't die before your season.
Amen.
You will not die before your season.
Amen.
You will be alive so that the word of God will be confirmed. That the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not sit in the seat of the wicked, the man who does not interact with the sinful, who does not take the word of unbelievers as superior to the word of God, who has forsaken the world and held on to the word of God, the prophecy, the promise of God is that he will bring forth fruit in his season.
Amen.
So that that word might be fulfilled, you will not die now.
Amen.
You will not only be fruitful in your season, you will see your children's children.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, because of you, God will put a stop to every evil that's on this earth.
Amen.
Let me say it again. I said, because of you. God will say to kidnapping in Abia State, thus far and no further. He said, you are the salt of the earth. God will look and say, Kano, hear me. No more riots in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because of you, listen, everywhere you step into, God will cause peace to reign there.
Amen.
Listen, let me tell you something. If you see disturbance anywhere, don't be worried. God is trying to locate you into the center of your own peace. Don't be disturbed. There are times they contend over wealth. Isaac will say, okay, leave it for them, let's go. Then finally, he said, the Lord has given us space. God was leading him to a particular spot. Are you getting my point? Listen, peace be unto you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The word peace is not just about there's no noise around. It's the Hebrew man, they didn't have a different word for peace and one for prosperity. It's the same word, shalom. Increase, peace, tranquility, peace of mind. That is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you have held on to God's word in the time of trouble. Let's read that scripture. Isaiah chapter what? Isaiah chapter 56. Let's just start from verse 1. Where I'm going is actually verse 4 and 5, but I'd like to just read the whole thing. He said, thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. It's about to be revealed. We're saying, how blessed is a man who does this, that is, who preserves justice and does righteousness, and a son of man who takes hold of it. In doing that, they keep from profaning the Sabbath, and the fellow keeps his hands from doing any evil. That's verse 2. Now, please listen to verse 3. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dried tree. Now, please, note my verse 4 here. For thus says the Lord, he said, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me. That's a line I want you to note. And choose what pleases me. And hold fast my covenant. I told you the blessings for the people of the covenant. Listen, said, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial. And a name, that is a heritage, better than that of sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Now, who's a eunuch here? A man who says that I am not productive. My natural makeup is that I cannot produce. Who's a eunuch? It's a man who they say that, you know, your family, nobody can ever make money. Just go to America and go and sweep gutter. Are you getting what I'm saying? That didn't come out to life with a very good degree. You know, I can't locate a very good job because I don't have a very good degree. That's where a eunuch is. But God says, listen, people pass through things in life. What I want each person to do is to choose that which pleases me. I was into Rabbi Zacharias, all right? I started listening to him again yesterday. So there's a message I've listened to between yesterday and today. And it was describing something. That the most, what should be most important in the life of every, he was talking about preachers actually, all right? But applies to every believer. What should be most important for them is that God looks and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you getting my point? That it appears like in the last 20 years, that's what he said, 20 years, that it is, you know, that the church has decayed to a level that he teaches, you know, Bible school students and all of that. And then when you are teaching them, they want to know, how do I get money? How much do I get paid? Which month? That success in ministry is now counting buildings and counting cars. How many TV stations are we on and all of that? He said, what should be most important to everybody is that God looks at his works and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And listen, that's what God is checking. In whatever you do, you want to ensure that he's pleased. I told you before, years ago, that one of the things I learned, God used that one to help me a lot. If I have to make crucial decisions, I say I want to be ensured that God won't say, if God were to show up one day, say, Banky, what did you do? Why did you do this? And I said, this, this, and that. And he says, but I told you this. That's the one that scares me. I don't know, you get my point? Yeah, that's the one that scares me. So when I want to do something, I want to be sure that there's nothing that God says, this is what I am saying. No, that if I do it, I'll know I have to close my eyes to what he's saying. He said, this is how I bless people. When they choose that which pleases me. Listen, in life you make difficult choices sometimes. Just because you want to be sure you are pleasing to God. It will cost you. Let me just give you a blessing so I can close on time. You have made choices. Yeah, let me tell you something. Sometimes You are waiting to make a big choice. They cross your path every day. Sometimes it's between going to watch football and going to hear the word of God preached. Yeah. But God says, if you have made choices just so that I might be pleased, he said, I will give you a name, a memorial, a heritage, better than those who have those things that you say you did not have. I say all the time, those who brag about their degrees only work for those who didn't go to school. Do you hear what I said? Those who brag about their degrees. Are you getting my point? When people brag, say, I have a first class, at the end of the day, no matter how good the jobs are, you will always be working for people. Yes. I told you, Christians, get degree because it's good, not because it's a guarantee of anything. You can brag from now till tomorrow that I have a first class. The men who didn't go to school be giving you a job after they say, man, you have a first class, let's give you a job of 5 million naira a month. It's still a job. And you, because of poverty mentality, you'll be bragging, say, how much do you earn? 500,000. I earn 5 million. You know, because I told you that time to read. You got a second class, I got a first class. So I'm earning 5 million. It's still a job. Yes, you can get fired. They can. One boy you were beating in school all the time will be appointed commissioner and he will sack you. It's still a job. If you like a brag from now to thy kingdom come, it's still a job. But those who are blessed, if they like, they take jobs. If they like, they give jobs. Are you getting my point? No, but if he's fired, it is so that he can refire to a higher level. Because he's blessed. Let me finish my prophecy or my prophesying. You have made sacrifices because of your love for God, so that you may be pleasing to God. Listen to me, you will never be put to shame.
Amen.
Where people laughed at you and called you foolish, one day they will look back and say, that guy was wise, we did not know. Mm-hmm. Listen, you will become great, and you will wax greater, and you will become exceedingly great in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, you failed here, there, you could not finish school. Which one do you want? God said, I will give you a university so that you will be giving degrees to those who can read.
Amen.
I will give you a name better, a heritage better, a product better than those who thought they were vital in themselves. It will happen that all those who bragged when you were making your choices, they will come and say, put me in one of the priestly offices that I may eat a piece of bread. That was the judgment that God gave Eli. He said, because you have dishonored me, I will get a new priest for myself. And your descendants will come to that one and beg and say, please just give me an office that I may eat a piece of bread. Because the way you were laughed at before, the men who laughed at you, one day they will come to you and say, give me a job that I might get food to eat. That is a portion of those who make choices that please the Lord. And that is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Continue to walk in righteousness. Do things because they are pleasing to God. And it will never happen that one day you will look back and you will regret. There may be slow times. There may be temporary trying times. But don't ever forget, our afflictions, they are temporal. And they are working for us an eternal weight of glory. As long as we keep looking to God and his word, things that are not seen, those temporal afflictions that can be seen, they will soon disappear. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, God will bless you and he will keep you. Let me summarize it again. God will open doors for you that men said were impossible. Listen, election is coming up. Don't think those who are winning are those who are campaigning. No. God is setting men in offices that his people who have waited for him will be blessed. Listen, God is setting men in offices that his people who have waited for him, they will be blessed.
Amen.
Listen, don't worry. God has not forgotten you. What did I say? God has not. He can't. He can't. He's watching over you like the pupil, the apple of his eyes. That's how dear you are to him. I tell God all the time,
When I'm praying, once in a while, I said, now look at my children actually. I said, God, if it's only half of the love I have for this boy or this girl, any of my children, if it's only half that you have for me, I'm sorry I ever worry. If it's only half. Now I know it's not even half. It's more than I'm able to conceive. Say, God, if I just trust you totally and relax, it will not happen. I mean, why won't I help my children and bless them if I have the opportunity and the ability? It's only when we refuse God that we have problems. If you have obeyed him and you are holding on to him, let me tell you, your life is like this in his hands, and nobody can take it away from him. Jesus said, Father, the ones you gave me, I have kept everyone except the one that decided to run away, Judas. If you don't run away from God, he can't lose you. Don't let the world tell you when you should get blessed and when you should get blessed. God has his time. Are you getting my point? They come and say, ah, this person has built a house. He has built a car. Have they written any book called Grace Face Can Be Yours? No. Have they written Choice Key to Destiny? They have not written Grace to Prosper. They have not written How to Work for God. I made a senior lawyer see me one day, almost use his head to touch the ground to shake my hand. Hey, they have not. If you like, build tower. Build Buja Arab. After Buja Arab is going to fall into the ocean. We know. It's a prophetic word. It's going to fall into the ocean. One day, God will look. When I saw the thing built in the center of the sea, I was very happy. So it can tumble. It's going to tumble. How do I know it's going to tumble? Kiss the sun, lest he be angry. And you perish out of the way. Everyone who has stood up to challenge the authority of Christ on this earth must be shattered. And since Buja Arab is the icon of the prosperity of the Islamic countries, then God must bring it down as a sign of judgment. If he didn't want to do it before, I have prophesied it. It's too late for him not to do it. What am I saying? As God is pulling things down, he said that two assignments he gave, well, six assignments actually gave Jeremiah, but basically into two groups. He said, you will cast down and then you will build. Are you getting my point? He said, God puts down one and then lifts up another. Listen, as God is judging those who are opposing him, you know what he's doing? He's lifting up those who are on his side. Let me declare to you as I close, God will lift you. Amen. I declare to you that you are lifted. Amen. In life, you will not be small. Amen. In life, you will not be small. Amen. In life, you will not be small. Amen. There is something that God wants to bless this earth with. It's in your hands. And it is crucial for him that he lifts you up that you might bless people. He said, nobody lights a light and puts under a bushel, but he puts it on the lampstand that it might shine, that the light might fill the whole room. Your light has come, therefore you will shine. Amen. And if you are going to shine, you must have a platform. Amen. That means God has lifted you up. Amen. Rest to your feet. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Because I know that you have given me a name better than that of sons and daughters, that the things I could naturally produce. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just give him thanks. Thank him like you really want to. He said, you have given me a name better than that of sons and daughters, things I could naturally produce. I thank you because my light has come. Everything that stands against you will fall before you. Every mountain before you will be brought down in the name of Jesus Christ. Every valley will be lifted. An express road will be before you. God will set you on that road and lead into destiny. You don't need human beings. You don't need to beg them. They will come and serve you by themselves. The people that God has called to serve you are on their way. Keep on holding on to God and keep on trusting him. I command favor in your direction. Blessings in your direction. Open doors. Great men will come and ask you for help. Just maintain the wisdom of the Almighty. It will happen that Pharaoh will send for you. Have ideas in your mind. I told you, just think of anything. The Holy Spirit will breathe a thought into you one day. Pharaoh will send for you.
Listen, a governor will send for you. A minister will send for you. A vice chancellor will send for you. MDs of great companies, they will send for you. Because of the Spirit of God that's upon you, which has tabernacled inside you because of your obedience to his word. Hear me, you will not fail. I say you will not fail. You are lifted up in the name of Jesus Christ. I said you are lifted in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. In the name of Jesus. It shall be well with you. In all that you do, you will prosper. As you go out and as you come in, you will be safe. You will not stumble. I said you will not stumble. I said you will not stumble. In the name of Jesus Christ. As you move around, declare, all right, I'm a victor. I have overcome. I'm triumphant. Put a smile on your face. Say, I'm protected. When I say there's trouble everywhere, just say, don't come near me. Walk around with confidence. Because indeed, you are the child of a king. I say, you are the child of this king. You are the child of the king of the universe. Indeed, he's the master of this universe. And you are his child, and he cares for you affectionately. And is watching over you with care. It is well with you. Because you love the Lord, I say it is well with you. Because you have obeyed the word of his servant, I say it is well with you. Because you have taken time out to study God's word, is about to break forth upon you. I declare that it is well with you. Victory is your portion. Triumph is your portion. Success is your portion. Anything that your heart desires that will be good for you, receive it now in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not fail. I say you will not fail. Shake your neighbor. Say congratulations. You are sitting beside me. Say you know people. Oh. Tell the person you know somebody. Surely God's goodness. Prophesy over somebody. Tell the person God's goodness and the mercies will follow you all the days of your life. And it shall be well with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, arise, shine. Your light has come. Arise, shine. Your light has come. Everywhere you go, light has come to that place. Because you are Christ's light bearer. You are God's light bearer on this earth. Say, God will preserve this nation because of you. As long as you live in that house, it will not collapse.